I want to introduce you to a guy who is going to feel very familiar to you, because every one of us has our follicular activity beaten down either with a lash or with a set of scissors. And who, or I should say whom, do we confide in more than the people who adjust our scalps and the thrusting follicles that proceed thereforth? But our hairdressers, right? Our barbers, whatever. You tell them everything, don't you? Everything. Everything. They become psychotherapists for a rather good rate, actually. You get a haircut and a diagnosis all in one sitting, not to mention a Diet Coke if you're lucky. And this man, whose name is Michael Blomsterberg, has been a professional herapist, as he calls himself, for 22 years, and has received a certified life coach designation from Coach for Life, which happens to be an international coaching federation. It's an approved program, by the way. Michael's mission is the synergy of his life experience and professional training to help others in their lives. And he's heard it all. All. And has written a book called Herapy, which is actually quite funny. It's quite serious, too. It kind of covers the whole thing. It's called Herapy Deeper Than the Roots. And it talks all about, you know, everything from acceptance, gratitude, whatever. Just all the stuff that we go through if you're an overeater, why we do stuff. And what's extraordinary, or actually what's relevant, is when one has enough life experience, hellish life experience, you actually earn the credentials to be able to talk about a lot of this stuff. So it's not theory. It's not some psychotherapist who's got a lot of good schooling and knows the notions of these things and is able to write clinically about it. He's been there, done that, survived it. So anytime you have a survivor talk to you, they know your pain. But he's a funny guy, too. So I want to welcome you, Michael Blomsterberg, to Harrison on the Edge.
Thanks, Harrison. It's great to be here today.
We are so glad you are here, and we have a progressive audience, which means they're open-minded, which means they also have a lot of life experience because their minds are open, which means they often step into places they shouldn't and learn from that experience, too. But one of the things that we all can say is that, I still, when I go get my hair cut, I spill it, baby. Whatever your technique is to pull it out of us, not that you're trying to, you know what it is? It's the original relationship of physician to patient. Hairdressers were the original physicians.
But we also get to touch you, Harrison.
Well, that's true.
We get to touch you.
That's true.
It's very tactile.
Well, historically,
so we break that emotional safety boundary.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel very emotionally safe in our presence.
Yeah. Let's go historically. Hairdressers, the original physicians, going back to 12, 1300s, you applied leashes, you cut our nails. And the barber pole, of course, is gauze for white and blue for veins and red for blood. You were the original physicians. And then you guys split off and started to get specialties. Some cut bones, some stayed with hair, were in the aesthetic side of it all, and whatever. That's who you are. You are the original physicians. And so the tactile relationship is something special.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's very true.
Yeah, it is. And I just love knowing where stuff comes from. It makes it a little more interesting. But in your book, Herapy, you talk about all the different things we do. Let's talk about overeating, for instance, which I think most Americans do it. We all, like, I'll go home tonight. I'll get home at 2. And I have these things called cuties, which I get at the Whole Foods. And they're little soy ice cream sandwiches. They're not ice cream, thank God. But I love them. I love them. They make these mint ones that I don't want them all sold out, but they're damn good. And I'll eat the whole friggin' box, except I got to stop myself. And I know why I do that. I'm medicating. And you talk about this a lot, and it's peculiar to most people.
See, I think people have to do what they have to do. I really do. I don't really proclaim to have any answers for anybody. But I think if you need to go home and you need to have 5 soy bars, that's what you need to have. I think if you need to have 10, you need to have 10. You know, I think it's completely, you know, I'm just raising the level of awareness for people to just open up and go, hey, I might have an issue. I might have an issue here. I might have an issue there. So that if they need a therapist or a life coach or somebody to go to, they're like, yeah, you know, I notice that I binge on health food, or I might, you know, eat good and eat bad. And there's different labels that they have and things like that. But there's a list in the book that I really put a lot of thought into that really provokes a lot of questions for people to really look and go, yeah, you know, I have this and I have that. But the overall message is to be as compassionate and gentle with yourself as you can.
Or compassionate conservative.
Yeah, when you're being, you know, when you're raising your level of awareness with really how you operate in your life. That's really the overall message of the book.
Well, let's talk specifics here. You've battled everything from drug and alcohol addiction, I guess, and bulimia, abuse as a child. You're certainly a survivor. How, for you, did this translate into therapy to help others? Because a lot of people would recoil, shrink down to a nubbin, and disappear, which is how they deal with it. And you've turned yourself into being of service to other people.
You know, I just feel very fortunate that I've always looked for the lessons in everything that I've been through. You know, and I have a strong faith, and I really truly believe that everything's happening for me and not to me. So since everything's happening for me, I really get to look at, you know, my participation in everything. I believe that I'm responsible for my life. I believe I'm responsible for all of my life's experiences. You know, the things that have happened to me in my past, I truly believe that I manifested so that I can actually sit here and have this conversation with you. You know, so I just feel very fortunate that I've looked for the lessons in what's happened in my life and have been able to put them in the book, from eating disorders to cancer to alcoholism and drug abuse to faith to celebration to all of that sort of stuff. You know,
let's talk about how in the chair, and I would say 90 something percent possibly, actually you would know better, but what is the percentage of people who actually go and get their hair cut? Is that everybody, even if they're bald?
Somewhere
at the self-serve pump, I would suppose.
Harrison, you're so sweet. I have a guy that comes up to me from South Bay, and he's probably 56.
Uh-huh.
I called it a cul-de-sac haircut. He's got no hair on the top. He's got hair on the side. I could do it in 5 minutes, but he drives 50 minutes up to see me. So I really take my time. And I know why he comes is because he really feels seen, and he feels heard, and he feels gotten. And when I have that relationship with people, that's what keeps bringing people back. Like Linda had asked me earlier, she said, you know, would you want to talk about this or that? Whatever you want to talk about. But if you really want to talk about the relationship that I've had for some clients for 22 years or 15 years or 8 years that are coming from wherever they might be coming from, it's because of the fact that they really feel seen and heard and gotten. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts that you can give somebody. I can really listen. I feel like I have a doctorate in listening. And I can really hear what people are saying,
yeah,
which is why I got the certification, and what people aren't saying, you know, which allows them to really let their barriers down, to let their borders down, and to really feel much more emotionally safe. When I started writing the book, I started outlining the book, and we started talking about all these different things. And what I started with were client stories. I thought, you know what, I don't want to take the easy way out and really go into client stories.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that's been to a hair store, you know, we're talking about molestation, abuse, affairs, celebration, weddings, pregnancy, all those, sex, all the time.
With a spaniel.
All the time. And a llama. All the time.
Yes.
You know.
What?
So, you know, I just wanted to extract all that and then come up with the lessons, you know, in the book. And I'm really proud of the book. It's an amazing read.
It really is. And you've hit so much, because one of the things, when I lived in Chicago, the guy that used to cut my hair, he used to cut the hair of a lot of the CEOs at the Amoco Oil Building, and other things would come in and see this guy. And he was pretty well known, and I was in radio, so I had a chance to go to him. Lucky me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that when he moved down to Orange County, as a matter of fact, here, when he left Chicago, the CEO of Amoco cried because of the relation. It wasn't gay, but the CEO had this relationship with this guy, because this guy, when he cut the CEO's hair, gave him self-esteem that lasted 3 weeks. Do you know what I mean? He turned him into somebody who could proudly walk out and kick ass for 3 weeks until he had to come back and get mended again. And there's that side, too.
You know what? I love
hearing this. Let me just reintroduce you for just a second.
Okay.
We're talking to therapist and author Michael Blomsterberg. He's written a book called Therapy, Deeper Than the Roots. And in it, he goes into sort of everything that we do, from psychosexual situations to bulimia to whatever, how we manifest ourselves with all the different things based on what he's learned after 22 years of having people in his chair, much as a psychotherapist. Well, it is a psychotherapist, really. And all the rest of it, he's also certified as a personal coach and such. So he's certainly well qualified. And you were going to say.
Yeah, I want to say something. Just, can I tag on what you said real
Please.
Quick? You know, the book also, for everybody listening out there, is what Harrison said. But really, the undercurrent of the book is really inspiration, motivation. You know, it's self-acceptance, self-appreciation on the deepest level. It's faith. It's championing oneself. It's putting yourself on your own team. It's being your own number one fan. And that's what really drove me through the, you know, undercurrent for the subtext of the book. So I just wanted to put that out there, as well as the other, so that the listeners really know the totality of the book. And You said something earlier, and I wanted to speak into that, too. What was that?
It was probably profound and brilliant. It'll never be re-uttered again.
Spaniel, and that's all I remember.
Oh, Spaniel, yes, yes. And did you notice how Mondo perked up right there? He's a cananophile, or whatever that would be called. Well, you know what's interesting is the notion of being congruent with your nature, which is something that I talk about a lot here. And I really never talk about the sort of the gay side of my life. I mean, it's in the open of the show. It doesn't come up because it's not keenly relevant to what we talk about, which is universal stuff for all people, which
Absolutely.
Is kind of the wonderful gift. But boy, do you have to struggle to become okay with yourself, to become congruent with you, whatever you are, whatever anybody listening right now, whatever you are, being congruent with your nature. And that's the life struggle. It's that old Billy Shakespeare thing, to thine own self be true, right?
Absolutely.
And hell, if you don't have to get up in the morning and fight for that on a daily basis, because it's much easier to be a rascal and a liar and a cheat and a fake.
Can I speak into that?
That would be...
You're giving me that look.
We call that a pitch.
Thanks, Harrison. I want to say two things. Yeah. One, you said that the corporate CEO person, you know, the tears and all that. I had to tell a client the other day that I'm winding down. I probably have another 3 or 4 weeks, and I won't be doing my handful of clients anymore. I may make it to the end of the year, but life coaching is just taking over, and I'm going in a different direction. And I have to say I was so honored because she started bawling. I mean, she literally, this woman moved to Oregon. She's still flying down because she works at Cedar. And she just started bawling. That's the level of attachment and safety
that
people
in there?
Feel.
Oh, crying. Oh, okay. Well, it's
when
LA.
They come into the, you know, when they come into the studio. Yeah.
Do you know, this is just a little side note here. When I first moved here... When I first moved here, I had insurance Blue Cross from Virginia.
Yeah.
Because my syndicator was based in Washington, D.C. And of course, they have. They basically have, you know.
He's already halfway in.
Good governmental insurance, which covers everything. And in it, it included 20 therapeutic massages. So I went to a chiropractor's office with gauze and white lab coats and, I mean, sterile and receptionist, just formal, you know. And I got my massage, and at the very end of the massage, the cap of the massage oil popped off again. And wouldn't you know, and I'd never in my life, and Blue Cross paid for it. And I thought, only in Hollywood. Only in Hollywood. And this would be not an abnormal story for you to hear in your learning experience before you wrote the book, right?
Yeah. What I did is I took some of those stories and extracted the lessons from your stories as well as my stories. And, yeah.
I got looked at so... She's so proper.
Yeah, we hear all those.
And so I guess for... civilians,
yeah.
Who imagine that a lot of stuff is really sort of extraordinary. It's really not. I mean, don't people do, as Gore Vidal told us one time here, people do whatever they can get away with? Is this an experience that you have listening to people?
I don't have that. No, I don't. I'm sure it happens. I'm sure it occurs. I just don't have that in my salon or in my studio. No, I don't.
So they're well-behaved.
I've got such strict boundaries, Harrison. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good.
Like no cell phones when you're getting your hair cut. There's just certain things, you know, that how I would want to be, how I would treat them, I expect the same in return. That's what's so great about the relationship. There's a reciprocity. It's
right.
A two-way street, you know, and it's just easy. And I have people, since I've been doing it such a long time and I've got a handful left, I have people that are just really amazing, loving people. You know, can I say something else? You
yes,
talked
of course.
About the CEO as well, which I thought was brilliant because... 3 weeks of self-esteem. I think that is so genius because I truly think that's a large part of what happens. And in my salon, in the book, the thing that's so different about how I believe in my philosophy is I'm not preaching any doing, getting, or having. You can pick up any self-help book. You can talk to any life coach, and they can tell you, you go to A to get to B. This, you do this, you get this outcome. You get this, this, you get this result. I don't believe that. I believe that when I guide people into who they are, what's important to them, what matters to them, they have them on their own team. And through that discovery and acceptance and appreciation, that's when, and feeling all those feelings with your soy bars, they don't have to go out and...
get laid.
Get...
Because I got my cutie soy bars. That's right.
And sci-fi.
And the sci-fi channel. I'm telling you, it's just like sex.
Okay, I'm going to meet you there. Yes, and get laid.
And
exactly,
get
that's
laid.
Exactly what I was going to say. They don't have to do that
right.
And get laid. But
right.
If they want to, they can.
as long as they use a condom, which was what we did in the first hour. Wrap that rascal no matter what and have as much as you want. It's okay with me. The book is called Herapy, and that's H-A-I-R-A-P-Y, Deeper Than the Roots by Michael Blomsterberg. I'm going to spell the last name, B-L-O-M-S-T-E-R-B-E-R-G. And your website, Michael, I see on the back here, it's Herapy Book, one word, herapybook.com.
Well, actually, it's www.herapy.com, like hair and therapy, H-A-I-R-A-P-Y. And when you click on www.herapy.com, it will take you to herapybook.com. You can also get my book at www.barnesandnoble.com. They're taking pre-orders through September 4th. It should be available in stores in about another 4 weeks.
Now, before you surrender your practice of making people have self-esteem for 3 weeks plus, depending on...
I found somebody to take them.
Okay, well, what I was going to say is before you do that, I imagine there's going to be a lot of people listening that are going to be very keen on accessing your talents. So through your website, are they able to contact you and say, snip it off, when in doubt, cut it out?
Life coaching, but not hair.
Okay.
Yeah, not anymore.
All right, but your recommendation might be valuable to them.
Yeah, I have a great girl that I've already interviewed that they're going to be going to see.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Because I know Linda's up for a little hairdo soon, right?
Thanks. God. Damn. Break.
Oh, look,
Harrison,
it's time for a break.
Man.